Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The Reverend Dr. John Sias is preaching.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" O Lord, have mercy upon us. Many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. Today the church remembers St. Luke, the evangelist. We know little of him except by implication. His gospel and the Acts of the Apostles feature little autobiography, other than that Luke speaks of his having followed things diligently and of writing them in careful order for the reader's certainty. Also, he seems to use "we" in Acts, where he was with Paul, and perhaps he might be found in this passage, unique to his gospel, if some early writers place him correctly as one of the 70 or 72 sent out here. Accounts are divided as to where and how he died and when. What St. Paul says of him suggests he was either a Gentile or a God-fearer, at least not fully Jewish, that he stuck with Paul when others didn't. And maybe most memorably to us, Paul calls him Luke, the beloved physician, though we've no record of his actual practice of regular medicine. It is, though, for his gospel that the church remembers him, and maybe that's enough. Luke's gospel alone recounts the sending of these 70 or 72, the difference of the two being a matter for text critics to sort out. This, though, is the setting, the days having drawn near for him to be taken up, his having discussed his exodus with Moses and Elijah on the mount before the thundering, "This is my beloved son, listen to him," the Son of Man, about to be betrayed into the hands of men, Jesus' face is set toward Jerusalem. In the big picture, as Jesus continues steadfastly toward the cross, he also continues in what he started, abortively in Nazareth and then again at some length in Capernaum, now through the 12 and now the 72. "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God," he said, "to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Now they are sent too. Now, I suggest that we need to read this text closely, following everything from the beginning with care, in good Lucan fashion, to keep things in order. For God's order here is not the same as ours. I should think, for example, that we might lead with the healing, knowing the context especially. Healthcare is always a growth industry full of, shall we say, opportunity. The mocking proverb Luke records at Nazareth, "Physician, heal thyself," still has legs, maybe even fresh wind in a pandemic. Luke's note about the woman who spent all her life on doctors but could not be healed by anyone brings living people to mind even today, maybe even well-worn bitterness. By the standard of any time or place, we are spoiled healthcare-wise, but the one who lives by having never has enough. So I think we would lead today, or all these years ago, the way we think, with the healing. You've got power to heal? Lead with that. On the road, in the public square. Hit the felt needs first. Lead with your strong suit. Now, Big Pharma might oppose you, but But pretty quickly, your strength would be in numbers. Oh, the path that would be beaten to your church's door if it had the surefire COVID cure or the cure for anything else. Those who have not lost hope for the mission, and we ought not lose it, might wish it were so today that we were empowered as they were. But if this is what we're looking for here, if we follow the text carefully, it gets weird to our estimation from the very start. First, the Lord tells those he sends out, not that they're just the guys for the job, just the right 72, they'll get it done. But he tells them to pray the Lord send workers into the harvest. If we're looking even at these 72 on top of the 12, he says, the laborers are few. Pray. The ministry will always need more than it seems to have. Second, he tells them he sends them out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And in the very same breath, not to carry any goods for their journey, not to chat up a gang along the way. Ministers will eat where the ministry is received, and other places, not so much. Third, and maybe most important of all, he doesn't have them lead with the healing on the road or in the square. Instead, go to a specific house, he says. Say first, peace to this house. If they'll have you, stay. Eat what they put in front of you. Don't look for a better deal somewhere else. Be on guard in yourselves for the one who lives by having, never having enough. But finding in a town one son of peace who will have you, a foothold that keeps you fed, laborer worthy of his wages, that's enough. And only then heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Or, he says later, if they won't have you, a real possibility, they get the word on the way out, dust shaken off the feet, that nevertheless the kingdom of God, the ministry doesn't always take. The point is, even where there seems to be a formula for making that ministry take, securing a good impression of the ministers and securing their living by practical means, set up a clinic, maybe they'll come around. The Lord does not arrange it so. What he does not seem to accord with the way things work, worldly speaking. Truth is, though, those who live by having, the way this world works, never will have enough. So it was in Bethsaida and Capernaum, who got more than their share of mighty healings, but he says, woe to them. For despite all that, repentance did not come. And such life as was given there, for the most part, came to an end in sadness anyway. Even these 72, selected as they were, returned with joy, Luke says, not at where their peace remained or at where the kingdom was received, but that the power they had worked. Luke has Jesus correcting them, correcting us. Don't rejoice when your power works. We might add, lest you lose heart, those who have, always wanting more, when it doesn't seem to work. For those powers aren't the point. They can't be. Rejoice, he says, that your names are written in heaven. For the life that lasts comes not by healing, but by hearing. The real deal with the 72 and among us is the speaking and the hearing. He who hears you hears me, he says. And we know how that goes. Speak peace to a house, and it may return to you. The house having made peace another way, or decided that peace it can do without. How do we know? Because we rebuff it that way. Moreover, we know that sheep speaking peace meet wolves with other thoughts. And one can imagine how that goes for them. But these guys are sent out having not much but the word. No money bag. No surefire plan for contextual success, no safety net, no next move, but to move on if the word they come to bring is rebuffed, not enough workers even for the harvest. And the thing is, this is not bad. For having only what they have, they are in a position to open their mouths only if they are not ashamed of the gospel for what it is in itself. It's all they got. Having only what they have, they only speak if they're not ashamed of the gospel for what it is. Not ashamed to proclaim Jesus, the Son of God, who saves by dying, even saves from our real and deepest sin by dying for it, who lives again in body and power, never to die again, who saves unto life made new and of a kind heretofore unknown, both here in life and hereafter in eternity. And they are in a position to live only by preaching this. Such is the ministry. And those prepared to do it are those who, all else failing, rejoice nonetheless that their names are written in heaven and keep at it. That is, those who do not live by having, except by their having Christ, who is enough. And who, therefore, can convey all what life really is about, which is Christ, to proclaim him as all in all. Therefore, I would say it is enough that Luke is the evangelist. And if he is the beloved physician too, may it be to cure us and the ministry in our midst of its own impressions, to search out diligently from among all money bags and knapsacks and confirming signs and the way the world works, to search out diligently those things concerning the Christ. And these things alone having to be unashamed, to receive and work the works of God as he gives them, not as we would have them. To open our mouths in joy, not at our power, but in his. To speak always the peace of Christ, and to rejoice that somewhere it remains, and to keep at it, and to leave all and follow him when it doesn't. So, O Christ, by the word of your holy evangelists, take the fatness from our hearts, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, that you may heal us. And Lord of the harvest, send laborers, like unto your servant Luke, for the harvest remains great, and such workers few.